Grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning again from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us in worship. Today, the subject of our message is hope. One of the three essentials that the Christian faith now rests upon. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, that now abides faith, hope, and love. All right, so these are the three essentials that every Christian needs to make his or her life a very fruitful one as we sojourn towards heaven. I was drawn to this topic by the Holy Spirit as I read through the texts for this week. As I began thinking about it, it dawned on me that too many Christians have become careless about their faith because they have a spiritual condition. And the spiritual condition that these Christians have, we call it hopelessness. Hopelessness. And because the thing is that faith is driven by hope. And that's why Paul lines it up. He talks about faith, hope, and love. Because the reason why we have faith is because we have hope in something. And when the faith of the Christian dwindles, then there is no need to operate when hope dwindles, there is no need to operate in faith. Hope is the object that we have, that we focus on as we sojourn. It's like a man that is running a race and he sets his eyes on his goal. And everything else that is happening right here doesn't matter. He is aiming to reach the finish line. And so when hope dwindles in the heart of the Christian, faith is lost. And so we find that many Christians are not operating in their faith because they have this spiritual condition called hopelessness. This is a condition that is responsible for man's careless behavior. All right? And a lot of Christians have become very careless about their faith. They have prioritized everything else over and above their faith. When faith needs to be the driving factor that is driving our life, the scripture tells us that we live by faith. And if the Christian lives by faith, then it means that it should be driving our thoughts, driving our decisions, driving our daily lives as we move from day to day. We find ourselves in a society today where that is not what we find happening around us. This is a condition that most of us, if not all of us, have experienced in some way or the other. We have lost hope for some of us have lost hope in our parents because we thought that they let us down at some point in our lives. I had that thought some time back when my father died when I was 4 years old and my mother died when I was 12 years old. And the hope in parenting was gone. And I sat there and wondered what would have become of my life. But just like David says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will pick me up. God picked me up from that time. And he placed my feet on higher ground. It is the reason why I'm proud to stand before you here today preaching his word. Because he took over my life after they were gone. Some of us have lost hope in our parents. We lost hope in our children. We thought we did our best in trying to train them in the way of God and train them in the right way. But then it came to a point where they started to make their own decisions in life and to drift away from the faith. And sometimes some of us will lose hope completely in the works that we put into that. Some of us have lost hope in our marriages. A lot of Christians, they thought that they had found the love of their lives and they got together in this relationship and went, oops. All right, they thought it was not the right thing and then hope dwindled at that point. All right, and some of us lost hope in our friends. You trusted this friend and you invested in this friend. And you share your deep secret with this friend. And it came sometime at some point in life when this friend let you down and your hope was gone in your friend. Some of us have lost hope in the government. The government makes great promises during the time of the elections. And they give you all this hope that is going to come. And I wanted to come and realize that they do not fulfill the things that they promised. And we lose hope in the government. And some even in the church today, A lot of folks I come across and talk to, and they tell me the reason why I no longer go to church is because I lost hope in the church. The church did this, and the church did that, and the pastor did this, and the pastor did that. And they walk away losing hope. Some of us, we have lost hope in our own selves. We feel like nothing good can come out of us anymore, that we've tried the best we can, and it never works. It's like when Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't find myself doing it. But the things I don't want to do are the things I find myself doing. Some Christians are caught up right in between there. And to some point, to get hopeless in life and walk away from God and say, you know what? That's it. I'm done. The consequences of a hopeless condition always leads to careless actions. People become careless. And this is when lawlessness steps in. And many times you hear folks will say something like, I don't care. I don't care. You hear it from teenagers. You hear it from adults. They say, I don't care. They get to the place of hopelessness and nothing around them seems right anymore. And the next thing you hear is, I don't care. We see that happening all around us. It's like the guy on death row in prison. All right? He's on death row in prison, and he really doesn't care about what is happening around him. I bet you must have heard the proverb which says, he that is down, fear no fall. He fears no fall because he is down. The proverb suggests that a person who occupies the lowest position in life cannot fall any further, all right? And therefore has no fear of falling. And this is what the Bible terms as hopelessness. He comes to that point where his life becomes hopeless. So the guy who is in prison, who has been placed there for death row and is written to be executed, he doesn't care because he can't fall any further. And while he's in jail, he'll kill somebody else or hurt somebody else. Because you can't jail him another time. You can't kill him one more time. He becomes hopeless about his life. And we find this repeatedly in the world that we are in today. Folks, this is what the system of this world is designed to do. It is designed to keep us down and keep us at the lowest place on this earth. The earth that God has given to us, and he said to us, be fruitful and multiply. It's the command that he gave us, explore the earth and enjoy it. The devil comes in and he said, no, that's not going to happen on my watch. And before you step your 2 feet down from your bed in the morning, he has planned your life and laid it out the way he wants it to be. And sometimes we fall right into that snare and we start to walk in it and reap the fruit of it. But now, I said all of this to remind us that we are the church and that the church has been equipped with the ability to live through trials. We have been equipped to persevere. We have been equipped to push forward with our life. We have been equipped to persist in the Lord. Look at what the text says in James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. This is the point where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes in the scene. He comes in the scene as the only source of our hope. After we have tested everything else, and everything else have failed us in life, after we get to this point, this is the moment for the Christian when hope arrives. When we place our trust in Jesus. In our second reading today, it tells us why we need to keep our hope alive in Christ alone and no one else. We need to keep our hope alive in him because, one, first point, he is the restorer of our lives. He is the restorer of our hope. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, it reads, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I would like us to pay attention, close attention, to the phrase dominion of darkness. This is being at the least hopeless position one can ever get in life. It is what this text is talking about. The devil takes us and he places us in this position, the place where we call the place of nothingness. All right? This is a hopeless place. It is the place of nothingness. When one gets to this place, he has no hope in what is to come. He has no hope in the future. He has no hope for tomorrow. This is the place where the devil seeks to place every person that has been born of God. He seeks to destroy our life. And those who have received faith in Christ, the scripture is telling us here in this text, look at it, we have been rescued. For he has rescued us from. Look at that. All right. An example of this is a prisoner who release has been ordered while he is still sitting in prison. It's an example of this. He's sitting in prison with no knowledge whatsoever that he has been released from the prison. And all of a sudden, someone shows up with his release papers and tell him, you've been set free to walk through these gates and go your way. This is exactly what it's like for every Christian that has been born or rescued from this place called the dominion of darkness. God took us out. Some of us are ignorantly sitting in prison. Out of ignorance, we're still sitting in that prison of our past experiences and cannot find a way out. Even after we have been declared released by God, we're still sitting in the prison of the past. Still holding stuff from yesterday and allowing it to come into our today. And we're trying to drag that stuff into the future. It doesn't work, my friends. When you get at a cross, you leave your burdens at the cross. At the cross is where we leave our burdens. It is where we first see the light. And the burden of our hearts, the Bible says, rolls away. You don't carry it after that. You don't carry it after that. Because Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So we give the praise and honor to God. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Verse 14 is like going to the restaurant. In this text, verse 14 is like going to the restaurant. You see, you look at the side orders that they gave you. I was at the restaurant the other day. Where was that we went? I can't remember. Fridays. And then I ordered this rib, long, big ribs, just for me. And they brought my dish, and the lady said to me, you have two side orders with that. What? Two side orders? Yeah, and I ordered my two side orders. I got my mashed potato and my sweet potato, fried potato, whatever it was. But it was good. All right, so it's good to know that you have side orders. And so God did not only rescue us from the power of darkness, but look at what he did in verse 14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. All right? The plan of God is not to rescue us and leave us alone to figure this thing out while we move on this pilgrim journey. What he did was he designed, all right, for us a path, a process, a means through which we would stay in and stay abiding in him. And this is why sin has no dominion over us anymore. Because every time we find ourselves drifting away from God, we come back to the cross. And at the cross, there is mercy. He makes mercy new every morning, my friends. So for those of us who become hopeless because of sin, I got news for you. And the news is good news. That news is that the cross of Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse you. The blood of Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse you from your sin. Every time you sin, you can come back to that cross and fall on your knees and ask God's mercy and receive redemption. That's the joy that we have. This is the reason we can't turn back, because there's hope at the cross. There is no hope in the world, my friends. You cannot, at no point in your life, become discouraged and hopeless and walk away from the cross. That's the only thing that offers hope. It is the cross of Jesus Christ. There is nothing in the world. Our friends will let us down. Our parents will let us down. The government will let us down. Everybody will let us down. But listen to me, folks. Listen well. Jesus will never let you down. He is the reason for our hope. And why it is true that we have been rescued from this bondage, it is imperative that we stay free. God is concerned about our freedom. It matters to him more than anything else. It's the reason why he doesn't look into your tomorrow. He looks into your now. He looks into the future. God is concerned about us moving on and not staying here. And it's my prayer for all of us this morning who have lost hope in some way or in some form to turn back to the cross, because that's the only place where we can find hope. Do not lose your faith, and do not lose hope in the cross of Christ. Let us keep on persevering in the Lord as we move on. I pray this morning that these words from Jesus will encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith. Know always, God will never bring you this far and leave you. He'll never teach you to swim and let you drown. God will not build his home in you and then move away. He doesn't do that or lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen. Amen.